Today we've come to our final sermon of the series At the Core, and we've looked at the things we value as a church community. Things like learning to be a follower of Jesus, intergenerational ministry. I'm glad I got that one right because I tend to mispronounce it. Intentionally creating community, or last week Sarah told us about flexibility and willingness to adapt. And today we're taking a look at this value, connecting with our multicultural context. Now, this is a difficult task that I was given today because the reality is the church over the past centuries hasn't been the best at this. In fact, quite the opposite. The church was and is part of the problem. But I also believe that we can together as God's people be the solution. So I'm not here to give you a history course this morning or to dwell on the past failures of the church, but here to ask you, before I even start speaking about our biblical passage, to think and to reflect on the past and to ask yourself these questions. How can I be better? How can we be better as a part of the universal church at connecting with our multicultural context? And I believe this is hard work. I believe it takes intentionality, and it starts with you. It starts with me and with how we treat people in our day-to-day life. I was talking with one of my trainers from college a couple weeks ago, and we started talking about the importance of meeting and being around people who are different from us, to learn from people we disagree with, to learn from people who are from different cultures, ethnicities, race, and to start having conversations. Because more than ever, the Church of Christ needs to be united. More than ever, we need to stand together to bring His kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Let me pray with you this morning. Heavenly Father, I am grateful for your presence, and I am grateful for your word. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to us today, right where we are. I pray that our hearts would be open to you, fully open to you. Help us to be better at connecting with those who surround us. Teach us, Lord, how to lay down our lives for those around us, how to love, how to include, how to genuinely connect with your people. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. We value connecting with our multicultural context. In 2017, as I've mentioned in previous sermons, I got the amazing opportunity to head over to the States to do missions. And I remember my first day so well. I had flown over from Zurich to Los Angeles and then from Los Angeles to Fresno. And I walked off the plane into 45 Celsius degrees weather. And I thought, well, okay, this is different. And the leaders of the Y1 base I was headed to came to pick me up, and we drove for a while, and I then arrived in Dinuba, the town that was going to be my home for a few months. And I walked into a room full of young people from all over the West Coast, and I was very confused. My English wasn't as good as it is now, and I'm pretty sure that I understood close to nothing of what was said that night. And though I didn't understand anything at first and felt different coming from a different culture, the summer of 2017 was incredibly significant in my walk with Jesus. And I made some of the strongest and deepest connections that I've ever made. And I still talk today to a lot of people I met then. So I want to start by defining what genuine connection is and looks like. It is a sense of being open and available, a space where people join and link together. They unite. It's the coming together of people, the coming together of people. A definition that I really like says this: connection is a serious commitment to be good to each other and to see the best in each other, no matter what. So Paul, in the letter to Galatians, is addressing some issues. In fact, a group of Jewish believers had started to convince the Gentile members of the church that in order to be a true believer, one had to follow the Jewish law in its entirety, especially the matter of circumcision. Now, Paul had been alerted of this, and so he writes to address the division that this matter is causing. And he reminds the Galatians that salvation comes through Christ, through faith in Christ, and not through doing works or following the law. Paul's response came directly from a Christ perspective. Christ's death had brought the new covenant. People did not have to become Jews or to follow outward ceremonies or traditions in order to be Christians, because Christ was the fulfillment of the law. This is what we're told in verses 23 to 25. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. Before faith in Christ delivered us, we were imprisoned by sin, beaten down by past mistakes, choked by desire that we knew were wrong. But God knew we were prisoners, and he provided a way, faith in the person of Jesus Christ. The Amplified Version puts it like this: now that faith has come, we are no longer under the control and authority of a tutor and disciplinarian. This idea that the law is like the supervision given by a tutor to a child. We no longer need that kind of supervision. The law teaches us the need for salvation, but God's grace, it is God's grace that gives us salvation. But the law still applies today in wonderful ways. It is a beautiful revelation of God's nature, of his will for humanity, and it gives us insight into his moral laws, into his character, and it is a guideline for living. But the truth is, we cannot be saved by keeping the law or by doing any other works, by serving on a Sunday morning at church or by reading our Bible every now and then. No, it is trusting in and surrendering to the person of Jesus. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. From the words of the Amplified Version, we have been made new, born again. We are all his children. We have been spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified. We are set apart for his purpose with full rights and privileges through faith in Christ Jesus. We're defined by Christ. Defined by Christ. Colossians 3, 9 to 11 adds some beautiful words. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with his label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious or non-religious, insider and outsider, uncivilized, slave and free, mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. We're defined by Christ, not by what we do or not do, not by our practices, our traditions, our behaviors, our language. We're not defined by where we come from or by how we were raised, not by the things which form culture, but by Christ himself. He is our definer. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are one family under Christ. There can be no division. Among his family, we are all equal. That is, our common ground is Jesus. Now, it's our natural instinct and inclination to feel uncomfortable around people who are different from us and to gravitate toward those who are similar to us. But when we allow differences to separate us from other believers, we are disregarding clear biblical teaching. So I want to ask you this because we live in one of the most multicultural cities in the world. Actually, 4 out of 10 people living here in Sydney were born overseas. So when you think about that, then how diverse is your circle? How multicultural is your circle? Is it representative of the context that we live in? Or do you only hang out with people who think, look, and believe the same thing as you do? Make a point this morning to seek out and appreciate people who are not just like you and your friends. And you may find that you have a lot in common with them. And make sure you don't impose the distinctions that Christ has removed, because all believers are his heirs. No one is more privileged than or superior to anyone else. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The original promise to Abraham was intended for the whole world, not just for Abraham's physical descendants. All believers participate in this promise, and all can access the promise through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our reconciler, the reconciler of cultures. His life and his death offer reconciliation to all. And by his teaching, as we see in this text, Christ called Jew and Gentile together. Both were offered a place in God's kingdom. And the ethnicity of the Jews would not give them advantage anymore. Everyone was offered an equal place. And what Jesus accomplished is so significant because the Jewish disciples were taught to reach out with love and acceptance to the Gentiles whom they had come to think of as beasts. And the Gentiles were invited into fellowship with the Jewish disciples without having to become Jewish. Just like the very essence of God, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're united, but they're diverse. And so the church should be, united and diverse, gathering together, being one mind and one body in Christ, whilst every individual is distinct, unique, and recognized as valuable in the church. We recognize and celebrate culture, ethnicity, tradition, race, but we do not let it become what divides us. So you may be thinking, how do we do this practically? How can we connect best with our multicultural context? Well, first of all, let's humble ourselves and listen. Listen actively and attentively to the communities, the people around us. Let's come together to celebrate each other, our differences, where we're from, how we were raised, our traditions. Let's hang out with people who are different from us. Let's not impose our ways, our agenda, our ideas on others. Let's give all people room and opportunities to serve and to be involved in the church. Let's give our communities a sense of belonging and of purpose. Cultures are indeed different, and they might have different opinions than our own. But Nicola Poor said this thing last year at a youth service that I'll never forget. There's not only one way to be right. So let's come before the throne with humility, knowing that we're not any better or any worse than anybody else. In other words, from Romans 12, verse 16, get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. A place of humility. A humility before Christ, knowing that we are all equal in his presence. So today, make a conscious decision to connect with people from other cultures. Put yourself in situations where you will meet people of other cultures. And examine your opinion, your views, your assumptions about people from other cultures. Pray things like Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. So I want to leave you with two challenges today. Two things that you can do in order to connect with our multicultural context. Have conversations. Ask people about their cultures, about where they're from, about their customs and their views. And educate yourself. Read about other people's cultures. Watch documentaries. Now, before we go into a time of reflection and response, I want you to prepare your heart, to examine your heart. Because if we, you and I, truly value connecting with our multicultural communities, we need to do some heart surgery. Maybe you have treated someone unfairly because of their culture, their ethnicity, their race. Come as you are and ask for his forgiveness and mercy to wash over you. Maybe this morning you have been hurt by the church. Maybe you have been made fun of because of your culture. Come as you are and ask for his mighty hand to restore and heal. Maybe you haven't reached out to anyone that looks, thinks different from you in a long time. Come as you are and ask God to bring people in your life that you can connect with and learn from them. Maybe you're good at connecting with different cultures. Come as you are and ask God to show you how you can bring people along the journey. Whatever your need is this morning, come as you are and sing with us these special words. So let us be together, seated at your table in communion. Everyone is equal in your presence. Amen.